And now your speaker is David Hayes Profater.
I am mindful of something that the Apostle Paul had written to the church at Philippi when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That information comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, and it's really one of the more familiar statements that Paul has made, one of his more often quoted works. That is, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. When you look at that in the context in which it is written, it appears not that Paul is saying that I am able to do things that people are not generally called upon to do, even though Paul, being miraculously gifted as he was, could do things that people were not ordinarily called upon to do. But moreover, and more practically, the application of the passage seems to be this, that all things that I am called upon to do, all things that are necessary for me to do as a child of God, I can find the strength and I can find the ability and the help to do it when Christ through the Spirit is dwelling in me as he ought to. Therefore, everything that I'm called upon to do, I can do through Jesus Christ that strengthens me. Therefore, it follows, if for any reason I find myself unable to do everything that I should be able to do, everything that is necessary for me to do as a child of God, it may be because I'm not allowing Christ through his Spirit to dwell in me as he should, and therefore I am not being strengthened by the encouragement and the inspiration that comes by someone who is allowing themselves to be led of the Spirit. You may have heard of an elderly lady who went to her doctor complaining of a certain myriad of ailments. And the doctor issued her some prescriptions and sent her to the pharmacy to get these prescriptions filled. And he said, I really think that these things are going to make you feel a lot better than you do now. She went back to her doctor a number of weeks later, and the doctor said, well, are you feeling better now than you did before? And she said, why, no? And he said, well, didn't I give you a prescription that you were supposed to get filled? She says, why, yes. He said, well, did you go to the pharmacy and get the prescription filled? She says, why, yes. He said, well, did you take the medicine? She said, why, no. Well, if you're not going to take the medicine that I gave you, then don't expect to get any better. That's what it was for. Now, similarly speaking, what is it going to take to make us become everything that we ought to be in the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Well, it's going to take the indwelling of Jesus Christ through the Spirit. And if it was that the Apostle Paul could do everything that he needed to do if he would allow Christ to dwell in him through the Spirit, then everything that we are called upon, we can do successfully and satisfactorily if Christ through the Spirit is dwelling in us. Therefore, what might be one reason why that we from time to time might not live up to our potential or accomplish everything that we're really able to accomplish in the name of Jesus Christ? It might be that Christ is simply not in our heart to the degree that he ought to be. But there are still at least three more reasons that I want us to look at why that we might not live up to our potential as members of the body of Christ. And by examining a lengthy passage from the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, we're going to discover what some of those reasons might be. Jesus said to his audience there on the mount, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If thy 29, I be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, then thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Consider the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we drink, or what shall we eat, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Comes from Matthew at 6, beginning at 19, down through to the close of the chapter. Now, preacher, you promised us that you are going to show us at least three things from that particular text that might prevent us from living up to our spiritual potential. And here is the first of those that we're going to look at. One of those is a foul sense of priorities. Having our mind and our eye set upon something that is not really worth the value that we have placed upon it. That seems to be the basic message that the Lord is trying to communicate when he says that don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, because you know that they are temporal, and you know that it's not going to give you the lengthy long-term return that you will get from the treasure that you lay up in heaven, because there, unlike the earth, moth and rust cannot corrupt it. Thieves cannot break through and steal it. And you need to choose today whom you're going to serve, realizing that no man can serve two masters. Everybody is serving one, and you need to be careful which master you're going to serve. When people have served the wrong master, it's because they've had the wrong sense of priorities. And you really don't have to observe people very long before that you realize what their priorities are. And sometimes in the process of trying to decide what is really important to me, it might be that we won't look any further than this life itself and the immediate sense of gratification that various things in this life might present. For example, have you heard that expression before? A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Well, you know, there are a lot of things that you can have the opportunity to do perhaps once in a lifetime. One of the things that you're going to do once in a lifetime is die. Therefore, while you have this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to make the transition from this life to the next, it seems that we need to take every opportunity possible to be prepared to do the one thing that we're going to do one time and will never be given the opportunity to do it again. And that is pass from the temporal into the eternal and present ourselves then face-to-face with the Almighty Judge, Jesus Christ. Now, there is something you're going to do one time. But I remember hearing once upon a time a family come to me explaining their absence from the Lord's services on a previous worship hour, saying, we all stayed home with the children because there was a television program that came on at that time, and you know it only comes on one time a year. And we just didn't want to tell the children that they couldn't stay home and see that program. And since here is the one time they could see it, we told them it was okay if they didn't go to services, and we all stayed home and we watched this television program together. But like, oh, you know, they're only young one time. And we want to give them an opportunity to enjoy these things since they're only young one time. It seems to me that since they are right about the fact that our children are only young one time, that there also should be some ample consideration given to the fact that since they're only young one time, that you as a parent only have one opportunity to teach them what the correct priorities are. And brethren, that wasn't it. We have one opportunity when these children are young to teach them the difference in right and wrong. And since you're right, you've got one chance while they're young, you make the best of it. If it is that we wait for them to become adults, to tell them what it means to make the correct choices and to have the right sense of priorities, then we've waited too long. I have also seen people who feel like that there are various events out there in the world that somehow present themselves as being more important than one's dedication to the body of Christ. I have known of individuals before that shirked responsibilities to the church, you know, because they would say, well, you know, I already had this prior commitment. Indeed, I believe that when every Lord's Day arrives, I have a prior commitment to the Lord. And if I had to tell somebody to take a tater and wait, it wouldn't be the Lord I'd want to say that to. I'd want to say it to whoever was less, and whoever is less is anybody who is not the Lord. What is it that makes us sometimes not live up to our spiritual potential? Sometimes it's because we don't understand the difference in right and wrong with regard to the setting of priorities. And the Lord seems to be advising us in a myriad of ways, do not put your faith and your trust in the temporal. Because the temporal is just that, temporary. It isn't going to last. However, your soul is here forever. It's the one part of your being that is destined to live eternally, somewhere, somehow. And if you're going to live up to your potential, make sure that you have the correct sense of priorities. While we have looked at these two ideas so far about what might keep us from living up to our potential, and that is not allowing Christ to dwell in us to the degree that He should, by perhaps not looking at things from the correct sense of priorities, here is still another idea that might keep us from living up to our potential, and that is a lack of faith that oftentimes manifests itself in overwhelming worry and concern. The Lord has said, you know, you don't need to take thought for your life, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? He says, have you looked at the birds before, the fowls of the air, that they're not busy sowing and reaping and gathering into barns, and yet your heavenly Father is taking care of them? And the entire scheme of things, have you not noticed that out of all of the animate creatures in all the world, that you're the only one that's created in the image of God? And if He takes care of the animal kingdom the way that He does, do you not also suppose that He's going to take care of you even to a greater degree? Have you noticed that the lilies of the field exceed even the glory of Solomon in their appearance, and yet their existence is so temporal that it's described as being there today and burnt in the fire tomorrow? How much more so is the Lord going to care for you, who again has a certain aspect of His being that is destined to live forever? Still being assured, He said, that your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. But yet it's the way of some, and I suppose they feel that they can help it, to wear their knuckles bare, wringing their hands with worry. Perhaps thinking that if I worry about this thing long enough, that it's going to be better. And that is worry, worry. I know what the scriptures say, worry, worry, worry. But I think if I wring my hands, worry, worry, long enough, worry, 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 that somehow it's going to get better, worry, worry. And here is the Lord telling us, don't worry. Because what that in fact does is express a lack of your faith and confidence in the Heavenly Father, the name of whose Son you're supposed to be wearing as a child of His. He said that if you gave sufficient thought to it, have you ever at any time added even a cubit to your stature? Have you ever at any time been able to improve yourself simply by having a great deal of concern and worry? He said, at no time has your worry ever improved anything. At no time has your mental concern ever really improved the situation. What is it, Lord, instead that you have wanted us to do in order to help us to live up to our potential? And that is the first thing, don't worry. Understand, if you will, that if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that all these things, that is, material necessities and needs that you have, all those things will be added to you. It's interesting to note, and as a matter of fact, it's absolutely imperative, that when the Lord was talking about all of these things that were going to be added to us, He didn't say, now, if you're seeking first the kingdom and you're living like you ought to, that everything you ever wanted or dreamed of is going to just show up in your yard. That's not exactly what He said. What He is talking about is everything that you need. Everything that is necessary for your physical existence, the Lord is going to see to it that you have it if you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You see, there are certain things that are simply characteristic of the Christian way of life that seem to assure the provision of material need. The way of life that the Lord has set in order for the children of His, that is, that we should be industrious, that we should be a working people, a busy people, people who are gainfully occupied. For that reason, He said, through the Apostle Paul, if any man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Therefore, when he is busying himself, the Lord is going to reward his labor with everything that he needs. Because, you see, that's a part of the Christian program of life. That's the lifestyle of the child of God. And when a man is following these patterns of Christianity, the Lord sees to it that those efforts are rewarded. It isn't the worry that is ever rewarded. Instead, it seems to me that that's really an expression of a man's lack of faith in his God. When God has said, I'm going to provide all of these things for you, and yet we're still wringing our hands in worry. We're essentially demonstrating by our behavior, you know, I really don't think God's going to keep His promise. I know that God said this, but I don't really think He's going to do it. Matter of fact, I might not even believe He can. What's going to keep us then from living up to our potential? The lack of faith that is demonstrated by overmuch worry and concern. What's something else that might keep us from living up to our spiritual potential? Just the very bad habit of living beneath who and what we're called to be. It seems to be that that's the message that the Lord was trying to put across when He told His Jewish audience there on the mount of His sermon that after all these things, that is, those material considerations, do the Gentiles seek? Now, if you could put yourself in the place of a Jew of the day, and here was somebody who was comparing your behavior to a Gentile, you would no doubt be rather insulted. Therefore, the Lord is telling his Jewish audience that you are really living as those of whom you think less than yourself. You are living like the Gentiles. My father used to try to shame my brother and myself into not wrestling out there in the mud by telling us that we acted like a couple of pigs. He said, you come in here with that mud all over yourself, you look like a couple of pigs. And I suppose that he thought that if he called us a couple of swine, that we would improve our behavior. We didn't. But he thought it was worth the effort just the same. When I got a little bit older, there were a couple of friends of mine who threw eggs all over two automobiles that belonged to my next door neighbor. My next door neighbor woke up and saw these eggs on his car, and he somehow became convinced that I did it. And without giving me an opportunity to explain, he called me up and he said, David, I've got two cars over here with eggs all over them, and I want them washed right now, and hung up the phone. Well, I went over to his house and knocked on his door to try to explain to him, I'm sorry, I didn't egg your cars, but instead of giving me an opportunity to explain, he just handed the keys to the cars out the door and shut it. Well, I took the cars. I went and washed the cars. I brought the cars back. And then I went and I knocked on his door again to give him back the keys. And now he's in a much better mood now that the egg yolk is off of his cars and they no longer look like rolling omelets. And he was willing to listen to me. And I said, listen, I didn't egg your cars. Now, I took them and cleaned them up, but I did not egg your cars. It was then that he said, well, David, actually, I'm rather glad to hear that, because he said, this kind of thing is beneath you. I couldn't imagine you egging these cars. But I appreciate you washing them, though. And he didn't offer to pay me back for the car washes, even though he acknowledged he didn't any longer think that I had egged them. But he said, I think this is beneath you. Well, while I was complimented in a rather strange and roundabout way, to find that he thought that kind of behavior was beneath me, at the same time, it made me feel bad that he ever thought at any time that I might have egged his cars. But I was glad at long last, though he thought, this isn't like you. This would be beneath you. That seems to be the message the Lord is wanting to communicate to us here. Don't live beneath what the Lord called you to be. He said, all of this overmuch worry, all of this sense of poor priorities, he said, that's Gentile-like behavior. And speaking to his Jewish audience, surely you know better than that. Sometimes our behavioral characteristics just demonstrate a tendency to really be beneath what God calls us to be up here. If at any time we don't live up to our potential, what might be in the way? It might be that Christ is not dwelling in our hearts by faith like he should. And Paul said, when he is, I can do all things I'm called upon to do through the Christ that strengthens me. If it is that we have a poor sense of priorities, that is definitely going to keep us from living up to our spiritual potential. If we have preoccupied ourselves with worry and concern with regard to things that the Lord said he was going to take care of, that demonstrates a lack of faith. And it keeps you from living up to your spiritual potential. You never live up to your spiritual potential if you simply spend time living below your potential, being less than what God called you to be. Sometimes these or other things get in our way. They cause us to fall to temptation. They cause us to become guilty before God. But it's very fortunate that when a person brings a penitent heart to the foot of the cross, that he as a child of God can always find forgiveness for his faults.